2 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
Now, tax, accountancy, and all things like that, it doesn't inspire a lot of us. However, today I have met the most fabulous lady who it does get her out of her bed in the mornings. Not only does it get her out of her bed in the morning, she's been doing it for 25 years. So I'm sure she has some things to tell us about business resilience and how to keep our businesses running. Not a flash in the pan. We have Emma Deans from Emma Deans Accountancy and Tax. She's going to tell us everything about why she does it and how she can save your world, particularly when it comes to self-managed super funds. Emma, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, we were talking before, self-managed super funds.
Yes.
Really, surely that has got to be the most boring thing anybody can ever screw up.
Well, I think because, you know, all of the information's there, I don't have to be chasing people for things. People are not trying to tell me things that are not necessarily the truth with it. I have to have documentation for all of it. So they're the best ones to kind of sit in my cave and just go hard at.
Sit in your cave, I see. I have visions of these accounting people with big glasses and little dark rooms and adding up machines.
Yep, that's it.
So 25 years of doing this. Have you always done self-managed super funds?
No, I do all of it. Individuals are my core base, and then small business, trust, partnerships, all of that kind of thing. The self-managed super funds is just what I like to do the most. They're the most fun. Yeah.
Well, it's important to have fun. That's why I don't feel we do it. But 25 years.
Yeah.
So always in your own business?
No, I've been my own business for just over 14, I think, now.
That's still a long time to run a small business in this day and age.
Yeah, I started out part-time. You know, when I was having my babies, I was just working part-time from home, and I could do that. And I didn't have to be putting everything into it. And then about 5 years ago, I needed to build my business up to support myself. I was really, really fortunate to be able to do that. I received a lot of support from my local community. I've got a really good name on my local chat page, and I pick up a lot of work now without people even posting the question now. They just search and find my name and come to me, which is really nice. I don't know. It's just the universe just kind of kept handing me just what I needed just at the right time.
Possibly because you were looking.
Possibly, yeah.
I just wanted to say, isn't the harder you work, the luckier you get?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, because sometimes it still feels like, when's it going to happen? But the last 5 years especially, I've changed constantly, just had to keep revisiting what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, ways to improve, you know, how to do things better. You know, I've moved to a different tax system. I've moved more to online software and accounting systems, just anything to improve efficiencies, all that kind of thing. Just constantly, every time I hit a roadblock, it's just looking at, well, can I learn from this? How can I do this better?
You wouldn't think that tax and accountancy would be terribly inspiring, though. I mean, surely
I enjoy it. But
sorry, no disrespect to all the accountants out there. What I mean is that, you know, a zero is a zero, irrelevant of whether you type it into an Excel spreadsheet, write it on a piece of paper, or put it in a database. So, what is it that you're changing here when you're talking about efficiencies?
Just the way of running my own business, the way of doing things better for clients, just the constant learning of it all, like getting a lot more confidence in myself. I think in the past, 10 years ago, say, I always felt kind of, when I first started my business, actually, I always felt kind of apologetic that I was home-based and that I was mobile and I didn't have an office for people to go to.
I know exactly what you mean there.
But now I feel like that gives me an edge in a way, because so many people that I go and see, because I am mobile and will do after hours and I'll go see them, and so many people are, when I'm leaving and they go, oh, that was so easy. So like a lot of stay-at-home mums or older people or people who are ill or things like that seem to appreciate it. And I've found my own feet in the way I want to run my business and the way I want to be. Like, I don't want, you know, I've been the suit in the office working 9 to 5, and that's not the way I want to do things. I like to have a more personal, friendly relationship with my clients. And I'm very good at responding to emails pretty quickly and being contactable by phone. And because my client base is not massive, you know, I can still address all of those issues fairly quickly and get back to people really quickly. And people really seem to appreciate that. I think a lot of the new clients that I pick up, one of the biggest complaints they have is that they can never get in contact with their accountant. So I've always make sure to remind myself of that, that's what's important to people as well.
So that I mean, people throw away customer service. I'm good at customer service. And they throw it away as a throwaway line. But that sounds like you've actually taken what was initially a, don't tell anybody I work from home, into a great
positive. Yeah, this is me. Because it's like, this is me. And, like, my preferred client is the small business, the small mum and dad type business, or the tradie, you know, all those. That's my main client base. And those are the people that I like. And I like to be able to... You know, I love new businesses when they're starting out and being able to see them progress and succeed, you know, from when they've first sat down and talked to me about an idea. Like, that's the stuff I love too. So,
do you find that it's an advantage from a small business point of view that you can literally pack up your computer or whatever, go to their offices? It's less disruptive for them as well?
Yeah.
They need at their fingertips?
Yeah, for them, I think it is. Some people are a little uncomfortable with it, but if that's the case, then we just meet at a cafe or something like that. It's probably more disruptive to me because I have to be out and about a bit. It's just part of the way it goes. It just means that, you know, I finish my work at usually generally try and finish around 3 or 4 o'clock, so I get a couple of hours in the afternoon with my kids, and then I'll do a few more hours of an evening to, you know, that's my work day, and I'm happy with that.
Running your own business in this space, you can give the flexibility around when you choose to work, and it can be a couple of hours in the evening after you've put everybody to bed, or in the morning before they're up, though, if they're anything like my kids were, that would be a real stretch.
No, I can do morning sometimes, it's just a bit hard to get out of my bed myself.
Cartoons. So that flexibility in your work, it definitely gives you feel an advantage?
Yes, definitely, and a lot of people say, oh, well, you can't switch off, and you can't, but that's okay. But that's also something that I've been working on lately is switching off as well. And I did, in the last 12 months, I did actually trial going to a shared office space to share space with other people, just to have something outside, just so I could make that transition from the home office into another office.
So effectively going to work, sort of starting a routine of going to work. And how did that work for you?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Didn't like it?
I didn't like it at all.
What didn't you like?
I've found that I have trouble switching between being social and being focused. And I'm feeling really social, I was having a lot of trouble focusing on work.
So too much time chatting with people in the shared office. Yeah. But that's a good networking thing.
Yeah, it was. But then when I would be, you know, really focused, like deadline due and really working hard, and someone would come up and talk to me, it'd like take me 30 seconds of staring at them blankly to kind of work out what was going on. So
fair point.
But also just carrying around boxes and things. And I also have admin lady working with me as well. And so I couldn't afford to have two desks at the shared space. So she actually was still at my house working while I was, you know, in the office and carrying boxes around and carrying things around, and it just didn't work for me. So maybe another time down the track, but I really loved going back home, and I really loved going back to working from home all day. That's just what I like.
So what are the challenges that you find actually working from home? Well, what made you think, oh, hang on a minute, maybe I should try that working space?
It was to get out there. It was to, to create a bit of distance, like a to and from work hours, all that kind of thing. But even so, I still had to be home to get the kids from school. So I still needed to do work in the evenings to make up that extra time. So it just really meant carrying stuff around. That's really all it was.
Seemed like a good idea.
I always had a box with me.
Good idea on paper, but in all reality, it was a logistics nightmare.
Yeah, and I mean, I've tried to make some steps towards moving to less paper, more electronic and online, but at the end of the day, I still need the paper. Like, people still send me paper. I still do the work on paper. I still need to keep paper copies because it's so much easier to find. You know, I need a lot more faith in my electronic filing system and, you know, backup system to be able to go completely electronic. I can't do it yet.
Yeah.
I'm a bit old school.
Bit old school. I must say, hey, you're talking to me who's sitting here with a pen and paper in front of her while we're recording. So, okay, so this is obviously the accountancy and tax side of things is sort of kind of what you do. It's also sort of kind of smooshed, sounds like it's smooshed into sort of who you are as well to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't know this when I was at high school. In high school, I wasn't studying to do this. I was aiming for something completely different.
What was the completely different?
I wanted to join the Air Force and be a pilot and do officer training. I grew up in near Newcastle, near Williamtown Air Base. But the whole focus there was I wanted someone to pay me to go to uni. That's all I was thinking about.
Right.
Stances, I was talking to somebody and he kind of said, you're never going to get anywhere. You know, no one's ever going to send a squadron out under a woman. And
I hope you gave him a resounding punch in the nose.
No, I was very naive and listened to him. But it turns out it never would have happened for me anyway because I'm blind as a bat and I didn't know until Don't have the 20/20 vision.
So you could be a pilot as long as the planes were really, really close.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to find out your own way rather than someone not believing in you.
Yeah.
Did that have an impact? Someone going, oh, no, you can't do that. You're a woman. You're a this. Or you. Did that impact your decision making from there?
It did, but only ever since I've told that story, I've always kind of explained him as a bit of a chauvinist pig. So I knew that, but somehow I still listened.
But it's really interesting, especially running small businesses, that you do start to listen to everybody around you and you start to doubt about whether you can or can't do this. And this is, well, hang on a minute. And it was interesting listening, obviously I'm a bit of a podcast junkie, but listening to some of the conference I've just come back from, these superstars, and we're talking people who are earning 6 figures a month from what they do. And talking to these guys in groups one-on-one, they go, I always think, why would people listen to me? Yeah. So even at that meteoric level, that doubt, that imposter syndrome is still there.
Yeah.
So how did you get over it to run, you know, obviously your business so successfully and for such a long time?
See, so where I first started my traineeship, I worked there for 7 years, nearly 8 years, and I had a really good relationship with the managing partner, and I was made manager of the compliance team at the age of 25, which was unheard of. So he had a lot of faith in me. I had a really good name in the practice, and he was actually, so this was in Newcastle, and they were restructuring basically the whole firm, and I was kind of at the centre of it, and so I had to tell them, you know, we're moving to Perth.
Thanks very much for believing me. I'm moving the other side of the country.
Yeah, it's nothing.
But we can keep in contact. We can email. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it was interesting then because I'd worked there my whole working life, and to come here and work for a completely different firm. So it was interesting to see. I wanted to see how my training stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I realised then that a lot of it came down to confidence. I was very confident and happy where I was. And then when I came here, the first firm I worked at, I wasn't. I was all of a sudden the bottom of the barrel because they employed graduates. So at the age of 26, I was the youngest person there and I was treated like the youngest person there. Oh. And I found that really made my confidence level really drop. And
so you've gone from being super confident, really happy with what you're doing, leader of obviously a group of people and very pivotal to a business, to all of a sudden your skills haven't changed.
Yeah.
Your attitude to your work obviously hadn't changed at that stage, and you've gone, hang on a minute. So someone's ripped out the carpet from under you and you've gone, ooh, question.
But I also realised how much of it I was doing to myself. You know, that took me a long time to realise. And then I ended up realising that I just didn't really like these people that I worked with, and I went somewhere else, and that alone was a difficult decision to just make, that to just quit because I didn't like something, because I've never done that before.
Because that makes you seem like you're quitting as opposed to going, hang on, I'm going to take another opportunity.
And so I went to another firm, and it was a much smaller firm, and they were really, really lovely people, but just a little bit sloppy. And
last thing you want is a sloppy accountant.
I didn't really have anybody. I was given a lot of the research type jobs to do, and a lot of the needing to find out what to do and things like that, and I found I didn't really have anybody that I could discuss it with that would really, you know, help me. So I found myself on my own a lot there. But so I would do all the research and everything, call the tax office to see if they offered anything different, and then I would call the advisory board that I use to just make sure I haven't missed anything, to see if they bring up anything else that was different. And and I found I was quite often, you know, I don't know, somehow it just gave me the confidence to just keep going. And then I realized that, you know, I can do this. And, you know, when I first started in accounting, we had a wall of legislation that as the juniors, we used to have to update the pages every month when the updates came out, right?
Yep.
Now it's all online. You can access all of it. So you don't need to pay thousands of dollars in subscriptions to keep up to date or have access to all of that stuff. You just need to know how to read it. So it was working there that kind of gave me the confidence to go, you know what, I can do this. Mm. I can do this on my own, you know, because I've got these other ways that I can, you know, if something's out of my depth, I can find the help, or I can just, I'm quite happy to refer to someone who does have the resources to be able to do it if it's a really complex issue. But that hasn't happened yet.
Did you think, I can do this myself? And did you have a thought that you could do it better?
I just realised I wanted to do it my way. I want to be able to make the decisions. I want to be able to spend the time doing things thoroughly. And I don't want a shortcut. I don't want to be focusing on budgets. I just want to be able to do the job properly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want to be able to do it my way.
Well, the thing is, I think once you've taken that journey and you've decided, you've got that information under you and you've formed that basis which says, hang on a minute, actually, I am competent at this. And not only that, I kind of rock at it.
Yeah.
And there's another way of doing it. And then you look for some flexibility in your options, such as, I've got my kids now, I want a bit of flexibility around that. Yeah. And hence, the small business is born. I mean, that's the whole thing which has been running about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was more based on the fact that I'd practically studied for 10 years. And then decided to have kids, and I was like, I didn't want to throw all those years of study away, so I didn't.
Well, that makes sense. And the other thing which I think is really interesting is that you've then gone, taken all those pieces, given it some flexibility, found a way to make it work, obviously successfully, or you wouldn't have been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But the example that we set to our children by going, hang on a minute, look, we can. You can have it all, but you can. You don't have to do things the same way you've been told to. You can go, actually, I'm going to do this differently, and I'm going to be flexible about it, and I'm going to choose to go to my kids' concerts and away on a Wednesday or whatever else.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to. I've got a 13-year-old, and I'm trying, and he's just not interested at school at the moment. And I'm trying to say to him, like, you know, when I came out of high school, I did uni, I worked full time, I studied part time, like I had a 1-hour commute on top of that. So I was leaving at like 6:30 in the morning and quite often not getting home till, you know, 10:30 at night.
And you walked to school every day in the snow.
This is when I was doing my traineeship. This is my traineeship when I started working. And but it was like I worked really, really hard, and I paid attention to my education, even though I didn't appreciate uni when I was doing it because it was so different to work, and I loved work and hated uni, but I did it and I saw it through. But by working hard when I needed to in the beginning, it gave me options so that when, you know, life happened and things fell apart, that I had the options and I had the ability to support myself and to do things the way I needed and, you know, all of that kind of stuff because I worked hard in the beginning. But, he doesn't care about that.
My next question, of course, was what was his response? He suddenly went, oh, thanks, Mum, you've given me. That's great. I'm all motivated. I'm going to go and pay attention in math now.
No, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Okay, so what's your next tactic with him going to be?
Basically, if you don't start working harder, mate, why am I paying for this school if you're just going to try and just pass, you know, if you're not going to work hard and try and do something? I don't know. He's 13. He's at this point where if it's not directly related to him or anything he's interested in, he just doesn't see the point in it. So I'm trying to say, you know, it's learning how to learn. It's finding different things outside of you. Yeah, but no.
Learning some resilience. I must admit, we had a similar issue with my son and with my younger son. And he, what we came to realise was that where we were trying to push him into, it didn't matter how hard we pushed or whether we tried to chop arms and legs off to make him fit through this hole, it was never going to happen.
No, see, that's been my approach all year, is I haven't been pushing him. And then we had parent-teacher interviews a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, you know, it's term four now.
Dude, come on.
You got to start doing something. You know, I can't keep, you know, letting you slack off like this.
We actually ended up sending him to an agricultural college, which is where his love was.
Yeah.
And we found this amazing college. And what they do is they take all the normal schooling system, rejigged it so it fits into, so instead of doing accountancy and computer tech and things, they have a subject called small business.
Oh, yeah.
So they've rejigged it all. So and that's so interesting. What I think was interesting about that is that's exactly what you've done as your journey has gone. You've gone, hang on a minute, this doesn't quite fit. I'm going to rejiggy it.
Yeah.
So as he starts to learn different things and learn to apply things, he'll pick that up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more lack of effort than lack of ability.
13-year-old boys, what can you do with them? They're all horrible.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so what's next for Emma Dean's accountancy and tax?
Well, now I'm attempting to achieve a bit of work-life balance.
The mythical unicorn for all small businesses, yes.
Yep. Yeah, because, you know, the kids are getting old pretty quickly, and I'm really only got a few more years with them, so I need to, you know, get a bit more time in there with them. I went through an internship program this year. So I'm training up an accountant now to work with me, and that's been really interesting and really good, and he's doing really well. He's one of the good ones, I think. He wants to learn. He works hard. He, like, turns up a little bit early, leaves a little bit, you know.
Sounds like he needs to spend some time with your son. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going really well. So I'm excited to see where that goes in the next 12 months to see, you know, with the next tax season coming around, how that all goes. I'd love to be able to put him to full time so that I can keep him, basically. You know, he's a young guy, so I'll be able to bring him up to full time work.
Well, so that'll sound like it's got its own challenges, of course. Yeah. As well as I always find struggling, it's letting go of tasks. Yeah. Which challenges me like that, and not so much trusting the other person, but trusting the other person to do things my way.
Yeah, because
of course it's our brand, so.
Yeah, exactly. And I realize more and more now how much my brand is actually, like, my business, it is me, like, so.
Because you're really a practice. You're really a practice, not a business. Everything centres around you. And
So I get very frustrated if things don't go out, something slips through the net or doesn't go out to standard, or, you know, things like that. But also I think part of that's also been having to accept in the last 6 months or so is that, you know, I am a person, and sometimes things do happen and things do go wrong, and I'm not perfect, and sometimes something can happen untoward that you can't expect, but you can't beat yourself up about it. You just kind of got to suck it up and learn from it and then move on.
so true. There's definitely parting words that we the absolute advice from Emma is that in small business sometimes you just got to suck it up and get on with it. Yes. Brilliant. Okay, so if people want to find an accountant who can handle tax, who will help them suck it up and get on with it,
yes,
what's the best way to get hold of you?
My website, Facebook, so Emma Dean's Accounting and Tax, or that give you my phone number and my email address, and or messaging me. So
brilliant. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing those stories. And it's so easy to interview someone and they go, oh, this is what I do and this is my accountancy, but it's so nice to, I think people need to hear the personal story behind small businesses and why you've become successful, which is obviously resilience, flexibility, and just goddamn getting on with it.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time, Emma.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.